Welcome to Bartender at Large. I'm your host, Sarah Castro. As usual, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in the industry. With me today, Liz Porter and Lindsay Johnson of Lush Life.
Hello.
Ladies, welcome
Thank
to the
you.
Show.
Today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Welcome, welcome. Okay, you girls are obviously like very, very in tune with the industry. You got events, you got Camp Run Amok. Anyway, tell us a little bit about what you guys do and how you got into this in the first place.
Yeah. Sure. So we started Lush Life, almost 11 years ago. August makes 11 years. And we started it as a media company, right? So we shot video, we took photos.
I do remember that.
Yeah. We ran all over, and we were mostly working for brands in that capacity. Mm-hmm. So making videos, one of my favorite, like, very early videos was shooting with Dale DeGroff at Belmont, right? Because mm-hmm. he invented the Belmont cocktail. We went out there with Woodford Reserve, and we shot this really great video. And that's when it kind of clicked for me that maybe I could quit my job and just really focus on creating media for the industry. And the more we started making those sorts of things, the more it became really clear that there's a space that wasn't being addressed, right? So all of my friends are bartenders. They all ran or worked in really great bars all over New York City. And there just wasn't anyone speaking or saying anything for those folks, right? So there was really a need for more events and somebody to go to the brands and say, hey, so what if we spend a little money over here instead? What if we started doing this instead? So why don't we take some of that budget and instead of spending it on promo models, because you know that's the on-premise money, we gotta balance it where we need to. Instead of spending it there, maybe we spend a little bit here, but then we also do these really great events where we're putting bartenders up front and giving them a chance to shine. And that was really where all of the event work started.
Yeah, you guys managed to have this really cool blend of like education with fun. Mm-hmm. And I know that's what a lot of people aim for in our industry, but it tends to be a little more like more of one or the other or too much
Absolutely.
Of one or the other. But you guys seem to have this really nice blend. Like,
Thank you.
How did you guys achieve that?
So I think the trick is just having really stringent rules, right? Mm-hmm. So anytime that I run into a problem or I see that one of the events isn't doing the thing I want it to do, it's because I went back on a rule that I created or hadn't yet made that rule. So like you read through our camper handbook at Camp Run Amok, we are explicit, right? Mm-hmm. If you say a thing that we decide is racist or misogynist or we just don't like, mm-hmm. you gotta go, right? So we really get to curate the people who are part of the experience, which mm-hmm. is a really big part of it. And of course, like the application process and getting to know people that way is really important. You know, we require people to write these very long essays. You know, we go through, we read every one of the mm-hmm. 2,000, 3,000 that come in for each one of these programs.
Oh, cool.
And then we do it blind, which is also so much fun because you have no idea who these people are. You know, you don't know the name or the face behind the essay, and you get to fall in love with these people before you even know who they are.
Yeah.
And for like for the folks out there that don't know what Run Amok is,
sure.
the very few people out there,
please.
Everyone knows about
please.
Already. For those that don't know what Camp Run Amok is, share a little
sure.
about what
yeah.
it's about.
Absolutely. So Camp Run Amok is a 7-day bartender-focused experience that happens in the heart of Kentucky. We select 150 campers, 220 bartenders all day, including our support staff, are down there for a whole week. Mm-hmm. We go to distilleries during the day, and then we have events in the evening. And really, I think the magic of camp is in the networking experiences. So, I mean, there is actually nothing in this world cooler than pulling whiskey out of a barrel with Jimmy Russell, right?
Like, yeah, which is amazing.
There's nothing better in the world than that. And our campers get to go do that every year, which is so cool. Yeah. And learning the chemistry and the differences between yeast strains and four roses, like, they get to do all of the stuff that nobody else in the world gets to do. They get these specialized tours. But then when they come home, we put them in these cabins and they have to work together as a team the whole week. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, really where the magic lies in all of it. Because you can go to those distilleries outside. You don't get the same experience. You don't get all of the special stuff. But you can still go to those distilleries and have a really great experience. But at camp, you get to come home and you're working with this team for the rest of the week. And they dress up. Oh my goodness. The people who won last session.
They buy in.
Oh, my goodness.
But that's the key. Like, yep. just buy into
Gotta put your
the entire experience. Yeah. No matter what it is, like, your theme, all of your cabin mates, you just have to buy in. Mm-hmm. Because this one, like, you have this one week.
Right.
So you have
so
to do with
week.
It. Yeah.
It's a full week.
And how often is it throughout the year?
Twice
a year. Okay.
But, well, sort of. 2.5 now. So we have 2 sessions for new campers. And now we're bringing, we decided to start doing the Camp Runamuck Alumni Association, which is going to do a couple of little things this year. The first of which is we're creating a disaster relief fund for bartenders who've been through Camp Runamuck who are having a hard time. And this came up for, last year was a particularly tough year, especially for our campers in Puerto Rico, in Houston, in Florida. And we ran into this wall where, oh no, what are we going to do? We don't have any money in the bank where we can just send it, right? They need generators. Where are we going to get that $3,000 to get that generator to them? So we decided that we wanted to start a charity. So that's sort of part one. Part two is it's a job network and a way for people to connect and find jobs and find work and things of that nature, which is really helpful. We have some of the best and brightest people in the industry come through the program, so it makes it a little easier to get a job. And then the last piece is we're hosting a 2.5-day event for the alumni to come back this year for the first time ever. So
that's
basically
really cool.
You come to camp once, unless you're coming back as a counselor or head counselor, you're not going to come back again for 99% of the time. Mm-hmm. There are a few exceptions. But you're really, it's kind of like a one-time deal. So this is an opportunity for everybody to come back. It's also an opportunity for us to address some of the things that we weren't able to do during camp, because we're at the distilleries all day. That time during the day, those daytime hours, we can't really do education that we want to do. So some of the social causes that we normally address at our programming, we're not able to do that as part of Camp Runamuck as it kind of stands now as a unit. But at the Alumni Association weekend, we're going to have sexual assault prevention classes.
Yeah.
We are having diversity training, things like that that are so, so, so important.
Yeah, they're core to the industry. Mm-hmm. You know?
And the heart of everything we do. And that's something that we can only kind of do for the counselors and the support team. And we're not able to do it for the entire group of 220 at Camp Runamuck. So this is a way for us to connect back and get those things.
And those, like, that inaugural group of, like, the first campers that have been with us this entire time that now have, like, families and they're not able to take off those 7 days to join us. Yeah. It's a 2.5-day short little thing for them to catch up with their friends. And then, like Lindsay said, these classes are much more, like, social justice focused. Mm-hmm. And they don't really get that as much at the actual full Camp Runamuck experience.
But that makes sense. As the people are coming back, those are the mentors and those are the ones who lead by example.
Exactly.
And so the coolest thing, I think, of the whole thing that I can't believe I didn't mention yet is that, so Charlie Moore out of Dallas, Texas, is the one who came up with the idea with me to do this. Mm-hmm. And Charlie is incredible. For years, he's been asking me for a list of all of the campers from North Texas who are coming to camp. He's like, can I just have their name and their phone number? I'm going to call them, take them out to lunch. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that's a great idea, sure. But I actually got to sit in on one of those lunches about 1.5-2 years ago. And he takes them out to lunch, sits them down and says, I'm now your mentor.
Yeah.
I now work with you. We're friends now, but we also work together. And here's what I expect of you. Here's how you're going to go represent North Texas. And here's how we as a community are going to help each other before and after camp. Mm-hmm. And that simple act of taking somebody out for an hour to just share a meal and talk about their career and talk about this admittedly kind of scary experience they're walking into. They're not really sure what they're going to do when they're there. Mm-hmm. To have that beforehand made such a difference. We couldn't figure out for a while why all of the campers from North Texas were just so much more prepared and so much more ready than everybody else. I'm like, oh, wait, it probably connects back to that list that Charlie takes. So now we're doing that. We have regional chairs all over the country who are taking folks out to lunch just to talk to them.
That's huge. Let's talk about mentorship for a bit, because that to me is just something that I think is such a big deal. And I feel like mentorship was so much easier, an easier thing to address, you know, 5-10 years ago in the cocktail industry, because it was so insular.
Right.
It's like everybody came you know, in the early days, you're like, oh, everyone who makes good cocktails worked at that one bar and was trained by so-and-so. But now as the scene's getting bigger, it's harder to have that hands-on connection with people. So I'm really glad of what you guys are doing. I think that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. It's made such a difference. I mean, at the event, of course, it makes a difference, right? Because people are coming in prepared. They know what to expect. They know what to pack, right? Mm-hmm. Like simple stuff like that. You know, we send a packing list out a few days before, but it's still nice to have somebody go through it and be like, no, you probably don't need that. You probably only need, you know, 5 pairs of pants or 4 pairs of pants, but you want like 12 pairs of underwear. I don't tell them that in the packing list.
It's really hot.
It's really hot. You definitely want Gold Bond. You definitely, you know, the things that we don't really put on that list. So it's nice to have that for, you know, just sort of like peace of mind and getting people in there. But I think that connection that people are making before the event even starts sets the tone for the kind of relationships that people are going to make at camp and then carry on when they get home. So the idea is we teach them mentorship before they walk into Lebanon Junction. You know, they're learning how to be a mentor by watching the example of really awesome people. And we're so lucky that we can look back on the now more than 2,000 people who've come to camp, and I can identify people in all these cities across the country who are incredible people who can lead the way and who can step up and say, I want to mentor the next group of people.
And the mentorship that comes from camp isn't because of what bar you work at or like who you are in the industry. You don't walk in and slap a name tag on that says like, I work here. It's you're making that connection with the person, and that's what develops that mentorship. So like the person that is the mentee could work at a fancier cocktail bar. Right. But they understand and respect that mentorship that they're getting from like their counselor and up the chain of command. It's all about respect and
you can learn some from everyone.
Exactly,
that's the truth.
Exactly.
Man.
I always train my bartender. I tell them like, you go to the crappiest dive bar and you watch that bartender work, and there's something you can learn from them.
Exactly,
you can learn something from everyone. Mm-hmm. And okay, I know there's some people out there probably listening to this episode and they're thinking like, oh man, I never heard of Camp Runamuck. That sounds pretty cool. Mm-hmm. If they want to apply, how do they go about?
CampRunamuck.org/apply gets you to the application. The applications for 2018 are closed, but they will be open for 2019 again in December.
In December?
Yeah.
And then what are you guys looking for in their applications?
Oh my goodness, that's such a good question.
Take notes, guys, take notes.
What we're looking for in applications is something that I think it's not what people expect. So the applications that come in that are like, I won this competition, I won that competition, and I work in this bar. That's not what we're looking for, because that tells me nothing about you as a person. We're looking for quality people who are interested in not just learning when they're at camp, but taking that knowledge and applying it when they get back home.
Which is huge.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because I can't bring everyone to Kentucky. It's not possible, right? We have 150 beds all day. So we can do that twice, and that's about it.
I know.
For our sake and sanity, we can do it two and a half times a year, and that's about it. But it's, you know, it's one of those things where if I know somebody's coming from New Orleans, which is a community of some of the best leaders and mentors that we've gotten to work with, somebody from New Orleans is coming, they're going to go back with all of that knowledge. They're going to go lead a USBG meeting, or they're going to go back and lead a training at their bar. And those people who are able to articulate that and share that in their application have a much better chance of getting in, because we want to proliferate all this knowledge. You know, that's sort of the point. We had one young man, Noah, who's amazing, who took very detailed notes, right, through all the entire process, pages and pages and pages of notes, which he published after camp for everybody to see.
Sure did.
And oh, whoa, that's rad.
It's what a resource, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people who are talking about and thinking about those sorts of things beforehand have a much better shot.
Yeah.
People who also show us who they are as people, right? Because this is human, right? Like we want somebody who tells a joke is going to have a much better chance than somebody who just lists experience, right? Mm-hmm. So be funny, be memorable. Mm-hmm. The most memorable ones are the ones that get in. There's another young man who's actually from this part of the world who's like, I can't believe I got in. I've only been bartending for 8 months. His application was the funniest one. I knew exactly who he was when he walked through the door.
Yeah.
He had the funniest application of the bunch. Yeah. It makes a big difference.
Yeah, we're reading these things blind, and there's thousands of them that we ourselves read. It's not this like huge committee of people. It's like the staff and the Alumni Association are the ones reading these things. So like, entertain us,
right?
You know, we're spending hours a day doing this. Yeah, keep it fun. And yeah, it's just sell us on you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to sell us on your bar. You don't need to sell us on like what you've done. Just sell us on you as a person.
And are there any that, you know, so far you focus on the ones that were really good and the ones that were funny that stood out?
Yeah.
Are there any that were just like nightmare ones where you're like, oh my God, this guy's
asshole? Yeah.
I mean, of course, right?
Yeah.
When you have 2,000 applications, Liz is a saint. So she prepares all the data, which means she downloads all of the applications, she puts them into a spreadsheet, and then she weeds out the ones that are just not worth looking at.
Yeah,
like incomplete. So let's say you fill it all out, but you miss the last essay. It's not going to be considered because other people filled out the whole thing, right? So she pulls all of those out. But then for every, I don't know, 200 good applications, there's one that they fill out all the fields, so it has to be considered, but every field just says vodka spelled a different way.
I was going to say, yeah, that's one of them.
that's a favorite.
That actually happened.
Yeah.
Like someone just, in all caps, vodka, for every essay question, just answered vodka. Yeah.
They did not get in.
I was sold. No.
Liz wanted to know more.
I had to know more.
I did not have any need.
Yeah. So there's two layers of grading that goes into it. And now, especially more than ever, we want to make sure that we're getting in the best people that we can. So that's a huge part of what the Alumni Association does, too. They're an added layer of grading. So Lush Life looks at them. Alumni Association looks at them. The score is average. And then those people are invited.
No, I like that that it's really fair. You guys go about it in a really, fair, scientific
Right.
style
we try
approach.
To be as transparent as we possibly can be. We want you guys to know why you're there how you got there.
The only part of the process that that you didn't really address is we go back through and we weight things based on geography. Mm-hmm. So if you're from New Hampshire or Alaska or a state where we just don't see a lot of applications, we bump up a few points. So
that
it doesn't
sense.
Guarantee mm-hmm. that you're going to get in, but you get a plus one or a plus two.
That does make sense because say if somebody from Anchorage who's running a craft cocktail bar, I don't know if there's any craft cocktail bars
there
in Anchorage.
Are.
I'd love to
there's
go.
And
right.
They're amazing people. Yeah. We love them.
You know, but if one person goes and then they go to King Camp, they visit all these cities, they're going to come back and just spread the word on everything
Absolutely.
They saw.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's part of it. Also, we have to consider the privilege of living and working in New York or LA and having mentors, right? So the best applications we get are from Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I know exactly which ones Josh Davis sat at a bar, at his bar, Bureau Bar, mm-hmm. and help them fill out every field of that application because these are by far and away the best applications. They're thoughtful, mm-hmm. they're funny, they're insightful, they're dreams. They're the actual best applications we've ever gotten.
So
if you live in Alaska, you don't have Josh Davis.
No.
You don't have access to him. And so we consider that when you're putting together the application. So it doesn't necessarily mean you're getting in, but you get a little boost. Mm-hmm. We also go back through and we have requirements for diversity at camp. So
and then that's not just for Runamunk, but that's actually for all the things you guys
Absolutely.
Work on, right? So tell
Absolutely.
Us how diversity works, and then from there we'll talk about Econo.
Yeah, let's do
and
it.
And then also
I love
Portland
it.
Cocktail Week.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, so.
So we have requirements kind of across the board that all there needs to be gender parity, right? Mm-hmm. So half of our classes are taught by men, half of our classes are taught by women, pretty much across the board. That's been our way
that
since
makes sense, yeah.
forever, right? And it gives varying perspectives. While there are so many incredible men in our industry, we need to have different voices coming in. You can learn something different from we can talk about the same topic and a man's perspective and a woman's perspective are just totally different. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to have those varying viewpoints. We also work very hard this year. I'm knocking on all the wood. I think this year we're finally going to get to that point where we are above 50% people of color coming in and teaching.
Yeah, that's awesome.
First time ever. We've been working really hard at this, and just making the time and space and
just give people a fair shake.
Inviting exactly. people who mm-hmm. normally wouldn't be invited because they live in a smaller market or because for whatever reason. And I think very seldom those people are overlooked because of their race. Mm-hmm. I think they're overlooked because they don't live in the big city. They don't have the access to work in the bar that is the best known, et cetera, et cetera. So we go out and we actively look for really incredible people across the board. We've been really fortunate to find a number of people of color who come with really cool different perspectives and also bring us different class ideas, right? Mm-hmm. I never before was I, have I been approached about teaching a class about credit repair, right? And we have two incredible people who come and teach right?
On
at Bar Institute Econo, which is our sort of mini one-day DIY experience. Mm-hmm. So give you just the 2 second on
Econo travels across the country.
Yeah, we live in a van. I live in a van with Liz Porter and seven other people. It's so much fun.
It's a dream.
I mean, everybody does love to live in a van with Liz Porter. But we've got our little wandering crew, right? So there are seven of us that are sort of the core team. Everybody has a specialty. Brittany really focuses on education. Liz is our logistics venue person. Blake, of course, takes the beautiful photos and video. So everybody's got a role in the van, right? We're really lucky.
Yeah.
We've got a really good team, and we don't want to kill each other being on the road for 7 weeks.
Yeah. In a van.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm going to murder you if you don't change that music.
Oh, yeah, we've got some stories from last year.
Yeah.
But it's just a nice non-committal way to get a look at what the larger program of Portland Cocktail Week mm-hmm. has to offer. So it's a quick little one day. You get four super diverse classes ranging from social justice things to some technique stuff, menu writing, mm-hmm. Pricing out your cocktails, things like that.
Carrie has math class that she's putting together right now.
Just you wait.
That's
if you
awesome.
Are in the LA area, that is the one to beat right now.
Right.
No, I'm glad what you guys are doing. You guys are taking a mix of, practical applications, mm-hmm. but along with you know the cocktail development that right. is mm-hmm. always going to be important.
Absolutely,
because it those are the aspects of the industry that nobody fetishizes. We all fetishize like
right.
cutting ice cubes and like right. you know like making cocktails all the minute and everything on the yeah. spot. But mm-hmm. some of the things like you know costing and pricing and, mm-hmm. and issues with management, leadership, diversity, like some of those things they sound like work. So we kind of right. it's right. harder to get into, right? You're like, exactly. oh, okay, yeah, cocktail costing sounds fun, right?
Right.
But
right.
they're things that you need to know.
Absolutely.
And like I said again, it's like it's you guys manage to mix that like education with work.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's all mixed in...
The fun part is, right, we have the class during the day where you learn to cost your cocktail. Then at night, we have this fun party where all the money that we raise goes to charity. We work with CORE. Got my little CORE pin on. We love them. They're amazing. All of the money that they raise, by the way, goes directly to families in need. So if you have a sick kid, please, please, please apply for a grant. They take that's such dope. Good care mm-hmm. of people. Only hospitality restaurant industry, too. So that's mm-hmm. why we work with them. We love them. They're mm-hmm. our people. Last year, we raised $30,000, and those $30,000 were split into three grants that were given to our guests who applied for grants along the way.
Oh, that's amazing.
Which was yeah. really cool.
One of our Boston presenters found out about CORE.
Yeah.
Like, during the break, we have, like, a CORE brand ambassador come by and just talk about it and let people know that it's an available resource. And she heard it and needed that help, and she was one of the three recipients.
It's very yeah. cool to see the money going into action like that, mm-hmm. and they're really cool like that.
Yeah, because yeah. I mean it is easy, like not easy, but you know it's like sometimes we donate something right. online, you never really
never
see
know what it is.
Right, you don't see where it goes. Yeah,
it's a psychological impact when you actually see it.
Exactly,
people that
absolutely.
You've met.
Yep,
exactly.
That's really cool. I really dig what you guys are doing there.
Thank you, and I think the key for us is also making space for people like servers and barbacks who maybe haven't caught the bug yet, who maybe aren't sure if they want to stay in the industry forever. We have classes that are probably definitely beyond the skill level, but get them excited and get them fired up and get them, they look around, they're like, this is where I want to be, this is what I want to do. So it's really helping kind of grow out our base and make sure that there's somebody to run that bar when you get promoted, mm-hmm. you know, somebody yeah. to hire when you take the next step.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of what we're trying to do here. And yeah, Econo is really fun for us. You know, it's a lot of my like old Riot Girl DIY ethos, right? So we make zines and we hand them out, and it looks like a show I would have put together when I was 15, and I love that about it. You know, instead of bands, we have you coming in teaching. You know, people like you coming in and teaching. You're the rock star, and that's the fun of it for us. And then of course those nighttime events are just so much fun. We do all kinds of silly, zany little things just to raise as much money as possible. We slapped Eric Trickett in the face with a pork chop.
24-ounce bone-in pork chop.
Yeah.
Was it raw or cooked?
It was raw. Okay. I purchased that one.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and it was worth every penny.
I think $300, right?
It was $300, for to slap Eric Trickett with a 24-ounce bone-in pork chop.
That sounds tasty.
The best $300 I've ever spent in my life.
Yeah. Knowing that all that money goes to charity, it's all worth it.
Exactly.
Yeah, right?
It's pretty great.
Exactly.
So yeah, and Econo is sort of like the test case. If you like going to Bar Institute Econo, if it comes to your city and you're able to go and you like those classes, you're probably going to like the classes we have at Portland Cocktail Week, which is coming back. Mm-hmm. Portland Cocktail Week.
I'm excited.
I'm so
Portland
ready.
We can't wait.
Oh my goodness.
Cannot wait.
It's one of those things. It got so big that last year. We had 5,000 people come from all over the world for that last Portland Cocktail Week. And the city of Portland is maybe not equipped for that, right? We had lines out the door. All of the things that I really didn't like about other cocktail festivals were starting to happen at Portland Cocktail Week. So we looked at it and we're like, either we can cap the tickets, or we can say only 2,500 people can come, or we can do 5 smaller events around the country and see how that goes. And it was really fun. We had a really great time doing those regional events. But ultimately, the thing they were missing was that sort of the thing that makes camp magic, right?
Yeah.
Which is selecting the group of people who want to come and learn and putting them all together and smashing them all into a room and saying, okay, you all want to learn the same thing.
Yep.
Let's network, let's do this together, and let's find a way to help each other. Because ultimately, what can you learn at a week-long festival, right? I mean, you can certainly learn, you know, the different yeast strains that go into bourbon. You can certainly learn that. But the thing that is most important is that you take away the relationships that you can keep learning from those people and you can keep making each other better. We have one young man who I love, who lives in Oklahoma City, who has committed to every single day posting in the What I Learned at Camp group. We have a little Facebook mm-hmm. private group. He asks a different question every single day
mm-hmm.
so he can learn more about the business. And our campers come in and they come in with 100, 200 comments on these questions.
He understands that that's an 824 member group that's the probably the most resourceful thing that he has at his fingertips, and he takes advantage of it, and it's beautiful. And I think it's inspired so many other people for, in that group that have like fallen quiet or afraid to ask or just needed like that like inspiration that they had kind of lost. And it's really cool to see. And the thing about what I love with our events, especially with Portland Cocktail Week, and what was kind of lost with Bar Institute and what Lindsay mentioned, it's the majors are basically a 64 person cabin. And that's where that like relationship and community is built. And
these are people who are as committed as you are to this topic.
Exactly.
And it's cool getting to revisit like what, so at Portland Cocktail Week, you apply for a major course of study, right? And it used to be the major courses of study were advanced bartending, bar ownership and management, consulting, and product development. Those were the four. Now we're going back at it, and the categories are totally different, right? So bartending is still there, for sure, but we're calling it bartending and hospitality. Bar ownership and management is going to stay the same because folks want to know that kind of stuff,
right?
Consulting's still there. Cool. We feel really cool about that. We love that. But we've changed all of the rest. So we have a mental health and wellness track. We have a zero waste track. We have
the zero waste one's cool.
I'm so excited. And then we have a science and tech one. So there are just to see how the industry has changed so much in 2 years that we're coming at it with almost twice the number of topics. I couldn't have thought of all of these topics 2 years ago. It just wasn't something we were thinking about. But now it, like we're coming up with topics left and right.
Well, because like 2 years ago, everybody was still like, whoa, I can't believe this is going to be my career.
Right?
Like, bartending's my career.
Right. Yeah.
And then now we're like, yeah, bartending's my career. Like, how do I make this practical?
Exactly.
How do I actually make this work?
And I think we have so many people who have really devoted themselves to areas of expertise and areas of study and have built up. There wouldn't have been 6 different classes that we could have taught about zero waste 2 years ago. There were 2, and we had them at Portland Cocktail Week, and they were awesome. But even those people who taught those classes have so much more knowledge than they did back then. And they'll be back. They'll be teaching. And I'm so excited to see that we now have so much more knowledge about these things that we just started. We started the conversation back then, and picking it back up 2 years later to know that we're picking up 2 years later to have such a wider array of knowledge and more proven theories and more success stories, more failures that we can learn from. To have all of that information means that the content's going to be the best it's ever been, and we're really excited about that.
Yeah.
I'm excited just to have Portland Cocktail Week back because it was like my favorite event every year.
I love it, and I love Portland. The city of Portland is something that I have missed. You know, we of course still had a 3-day event there, and we were still there. But you know, you miss it. You know, and we went back to like the really old format. So like, you're the first person we're officially telling this, but we rented the Jupiter Hotel.
Not just
again.
Me, everyone out there too.
I know, of course. I'm hoping by the time this comes out that everybody knows already. But we rented the entire Jupiter Hotel out again. We're going to have scholarship programs. So it's pdxcw.com/apply is going to be the way to apply for all of those programs. But making sure that there's space for people who... So this is like a big socialist theory of mine, but part of the thing that bugs me about other festivals or other learning experiences is that the barrier of entry is a financial one.
Yeah.
And that automatically precludes a lot of people, especially women and people of color.
Yeah.
And it's not something we think about, right? Because this education is valuable. People should be paid for their work and their time. It's very valuable information. But the minute we put a price tag on it, we sell a ticket to a class, what becomes most important is whether or not you have that money to go into that class, not the merit of whether or not you should be in that class or that you want to be in that class. So we always have always operated on a zero cost model, right? Like if you're a bartender and you put your hand up and say you want to come and you get in, we got you, right? And that's been kind of the core of who we are for a really long time. And that's not changing. So again, you apply, you get in, you go, it's all free. And then for some people who have a little bit greater need, we offer beds at the Jupiter. So we rent out the whole hotel so that those people can have a place to sleep and not worry about that financial commitment. Because the last thing I want is somebody to not get education because they don't have the money to go get it. You know, people who want it should have access and opportunity. And that's why we put all of our classes on Bar Institute's on Facebook, right? We live stream half of our classes.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful because I feel like so often some people you know, you need education, you know, you need a little more training to justify, you know, for somebody to hire you, justify hiring you.
Right.
To make a little more money, but you can't make, you can't get that education until you make more money.
Chicken
so
and the egg,
kind of
right?
A pickle.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I think what you guys are offering is really cool, and I think it's going to be really welcome in the industry.
I hope so. We hope. We love it.
It makes me really happy. I think that's super cool.
It's our favorite. We love it.
Yeah. Getting to work with all of these bartenders has been the greatest, like, and I say it sounds so corny, but it's been like the greatest experience of my life. And I think like camp is the thing that keeps me going all year. Like it's my fuel.
Yep.
Because the magic that happens there and watching those relationships start and grow and watching it firsthand is the thing that fuels us for the whole year and makes all the travel and all the running around and all the hard work really, really worth it. It's the best.
Touching lives, you know.
Oh, we love them so much.
Hi. But they affect us just as much as we hope we affect them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They keep us going.
We love them.
You know, how's the expression go? It's like the meaning of life is a life with meaning.
Exactly.
Precisely.
And then that's exactly what you guys are doing, you know?
Yeah.
Changing lives, kind of education, good times.
We hope so. We want people to keep coming back and learning.
Absolutely. Because
they've got a lot to teach, yep. But they also have a lot to learn. So
we all do.
We all do. Constantly.
Yep.
No, I'm sorry. I was hanging out with Jim Romdel recently, and he was talking about Camp Run Amok. And I was telling him I hadn't taken it. He's like, what? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Dude, you need to take it. You need to take it. I'm like, oh, I know.
Come out, man.
Yep.
I need to go.
Come out.
Okay.
We need you.
We do.
But you can't come to Camp Run Amok until you've taken the Jort class. So Jim will teach you how to properly cut your jeans into jean shorts. he is the world's leading expert on bartender jort making.
I'll give you a tip. A pro tip here. The perfect jort shows at least 1 inch of pocket.
Yes.
Oh, you're right, huh?
Yeah.
Yes. We've done a little scientific study.
Yeah.
Jim has pioneered a lot of different ways you can jort, but he's famous for it.
Mm-hmm.
Jim was the sheriff of Camp Rodamuck for 3 years, which is like
the sheriff. What does that entail?
Oh, my goodness.
The top of the chain.
Yeah. So we have a chain of command, right? So we have campers that live 5 campers in 1 cabin. 1 counselor is in charge of them. Then we have a head counselor that has 4 to 5 cabins. Then we have our deputies, who are sort of like the disciplinarians, and they keep the points. Very important, because if you get the most points at camp, you get to come back as a cabin. It's a very big deal.
Ooh, nice.
It's a very big deal. And then above them is the sheriff. And the sheriff is the one who is making sure everybody's safe, everybody gets to bed when they need to, that no rules are getting broken. If somebody does say or do something that is maybe not allowed, they goes to the sheriff, and the sheriff decides.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very important job.
It sure is.
We have 4 sheriffs this year.
We do.
And we're very proud of all 4 of them. They're a pretty great little group.
Mm-hmm. Nictali Mendoza is like he's the sheriff, but he's also like kind of the spirit guy.
The inspirational speaker.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Sabrina Kershaw is just the muscle, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's just the muscle.
And then Joey and Spotty there.
Joey Huddling is dad and the conscience. Mm-hmm. And Spotty, Clint Spottleson is the energy. He's the life force.
Absolutely.
Those are our sheriffs. Yeah, they're the best. We love them so much. And you got to have it. You got to have and they come from so you kind of move your way up the chain.
Yep.
I dig it. Okay.
Yes.
Liz, you're from Kentucky originally.
Louisville, yeah.
Louisville, okay. I've actually learned some slang recently.
Tell me.
Some old country slang. Right?
Hit me with it.
I heard my friend Bruce Russell from the Wild
Yes.
Turkey.
Yeah.
He was telling
Very
me
familiar.
Shit fire.
Shit fire, yeah.
Shit fire.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Would you say is like, so if something's really surprising or shocking to you, you say shit fire?
Yeah, sure.
But how would you say it in use?
I'm not as familiar with shit fire. But if you want to know a saying that involves shit.
Fair.
Yeah, they think they're hot shit on a stick, but really they're just a cold turn on a twig. Mm. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's awesome. People actually say that.
Hot shit on a stick, but really just a cold turn on a twig.
Yeah.
You have to say
like
it just
that.
Like that.
Your accent came out when you said
yeah.
It.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the most convincing part of it, is to say it with that accent. Yeah. That way they know.
I dig it. Okay, guys.
Yeah.
Before we keep on swearing and stuff, I'll let you girls go ahead and cut out now. But before we say goodbye,
yeah.
If somebody wants some more information on on what you guys do, sure. Lush Life. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, Camp Runamug, mm-hmm. Portland Cocktail Week, Econo, where should they go for more information?
All of those proper, every single one of those projects has a Facebook page. So facebook.com/Camp Runamug/Bar Institute. That's the easiest way to get in touch. If you just shoot us your email through any of those, we get you on the mailing list, mm-hmm. and then you'll get information when applications go out and all that good stuff.
Okay, awesome.
That's the easiest.
Ladies, thank you so much
for
making time.
Thank you.
Oh, please, anytime.
Of course.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank
you.
Bye,
everybody. Thanks for
listening.
Bye.
Thank you so much for watching. We hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to click like, subscribe, or leave a comment below. Also, in case you missed it, the Bartender at Large documentary is now available for purchase online, and it's name your own price, so you can pay whatever you want for it. To pick up a copy, go to bartenderatlarge.com and click on the banner up top. Thank you so much for watching.